Welcome to Manga Cubed, episode 109. You've been one stop for manga news and commentary for the week of August 11th, 2014. I am your main host, Derek, and I am joined by my co-host, Mo.
Hello, everyone. It is the week of August 11th, 2014.
I just said that.
Oh, dang it, again?
Shows how much you pay attention to me.
Even
my co-host doesn't listen to me. What chance do I have with anyone else? Anyway.
Nobody cares about you.
Oh, thank you. Why, thank you very much.
After all, it's your fault. We're not popular. Wait, is it my fault?
It's your fault. All right then, mi amigo. Let's see. We have some news to talk about to start off with, so we're going to get through that real quick so we can get on to the interesting stuff, the actual manga that we are going to review this week. And we're starting off with the Japanese comic rankings for July 28th through August 3rd. And in 10th place, if it would let me go there. There we go. In 10th place, we have Hibi Chocho, Volume 8.
9th place, Giant Killing, Volume 32.
8th place, Maji, Volume 22.
7th place, Kobayashi ga Kawaii Sugite Surai, Volume 7.
6th place, Yokai Watch, Volume 4.
5th place, Inuboku Double S, Volume 11.
4th place, Junjo Romantica, Volume 18.
3rd place, Vagabond, Volume 37. Wait a second, is it back?
Oh. 2nd place, Sukiete Inayo, Say I Love You, Volume 13.
1st place, Toaru Kagaku no Railgun, Volume 10.
Cool. All right, then. And we also have the New York Times manga bestseller list for the week of July 27th through August 2nd. And in 10th place, we have Attack on Titan No Regrets, Volume 1.
Hang on. 9th place, Attack on Titan, Volume 3.
8th place, no matter how I look at it, it's you guys' fault I'm not popular, Volume 4.
7th place, Omamori Himari, Volume 12.
6th place, Naruto, Volume 66.
Can we make the 6th joke here?
Actually, yes. Yes, we can. Well played, Satan. The Lord of Darkness has revealed his tastes in manga, and he loves him some Naruto.
If it had been on the list for about one more week, we would have 4 sixes, and then the joke would be lost. Or it still would have not been lost.
Well, yeah.
Anyways, 5th place, Attack on Titan, Volume 1.
4th place, Soul Eater, Volume 21.
3rd place, Blood Lad, Volume 5. Oh, wow, it's catching on.
2nd place, Soul Eater Not, Volume 3.
1st place, Black Butler, Volume 17.
Alright, and for the anime, North American anime and manga releases for August 3rd through 9th, in the anime releases we have Cardcaptor Sakura Blu-ray Complete Series Premium Edition for $249. Yeesh. And we also have Cardcaptor Sakura DVD 1, 2, and 3 for $60 a piece. So let's see, 120, 180, yeah, so less than the Blu-ray, but at that point... It hardly makes a difference, but alright. Next.
Really? Destined for Love, DVD Complete Collection.
Porno. Dragon Ball Z Season 6 Uncut Blu-ray Set.
Hang on, I'm gonna reload my page. I don't know why it's not loading. Keep going.
I see what you're trying to do. I'm not going.
I'm having technical... Oh, okay. Hang on. Oh, freezing. Freezing DVD Blu-ray Complete Series Anime Classics Edition.
Also porn. I don't care what you say, the original, the artist of the manga draws porn doujinshi of his series. It's frickin' porn that doesn't actually have the guts to show the whole thing.
Wait, really? He does draw? I swear I've seen doujinshi that of drawn by him, or at least art that looks like him, but doesn't even have any porn.
He does freezing ones. He totally does freezing porno doujinshi. It's kind of hilarious. Kind of just goes to show what this guy thinks of his series.
Yep. If you have to draw a porn of your own series, you got a problem. See, even Mashima doesn't do it.
Yeah, though some people wish he did. Yeah, if Mashima did it, oh, that's so. What great fan service these guys did. Oh, these sick, disgusting people. Ugh. Anyway, Love Lab Blu-ray and DVD complete collection, and despite that title, not porno, surprisingly. Next. Mo, are you still there? Dang it. Alright, the next one is... Crap. You did this on purpose. Maison Plaisir on DVD. Porno. So close.
I got it. Maison Plaisir DVD porno.
Well, that just proved to show that you don't know how to pronounce French.
Well, Maison
Plaisir.
Plaisir. What?
It's French.
Oh.
It's also a porno. You're getting all the porno, except you disappeared right in time for me to have to read it.
I had to, something important.
Well, good job on you for making it not noticeable, except for the part where I pause for like 3 seconds and go, Mo, are you there? other than that, seamless. All right, Oremo 2, DVD Complete Box Set Limited Edition.
Good grief, Anaplex. Okay. Sengoku's Collection, DVD Complete Collection. What?
At least Anaplex.
Said collection twice.
At least Anaplex is being less ridiculous than Anna.
Sorry.
Let's see. Short piece DVD. And Yu Yu Shiki Blu-ray Complete Collection, it would appear. And let's see, let's move on to the manga releases. I've got Alice in the Country of Joker, Nightmare Trilogy, Volume 1. We've got Black Rose Alice, Volume 1.
Bleach, Volume 61.
Defrag, Volume 1.
The Gray Man, Volume 24.
Dragonar Academy, Volume 3.
Food Wars, Shokugeki no Soma, Volume 1.
Happy Marriage, Volume 7. Crap.
Really? I don't think that one is... You sure?
It says porno. Well, it says adult on it, although... They may just... Isn't that the yaoi one?
You sure? I don't think it's that one. I think it's the one that looks like the happy couple or...
Let me check.
Oh. That's not the one.
Oh, no, that's a different one. That's always weird. I see the art for that, and I'm like, oh, that looks charming and harmless, but then I see the adult label and I'm like, wait a minute. What depraved things happen in here? Anyway,
please, no NDR. I hate NDR. Anyways,
yeah.
Don't look that up, folks. You're not going to like it. You're going to go crazy. Anyways, Hello Kitty, Just Imagine, Volume 4.
What a good transition. High School Debut, Volume 7 through 9.
Kazehi Karu, Volume 22.
Knights of Sidonia, Volume 10.
Kokoro Connect, Volume 1.
Nura, Rise of the Yokai Clan, Volume 22.
Oh my god, it's Volume 46.
Pokemon Black and White, Volume 17.
Rosario Vampire Season 2, Volume 13.
Man, I'm having no luck with the manga. Spell of Desire, Volume 1. Wait, that's by
Torko,
Viz?
Volume 23. I guess so.
Oh, it doesn't look... Oh, wait... Okay, it looks like a Jose series, not an actual straight-up porn one. Okay. That label is very misleading, but you can usually tell by the art whether it's porn or smut. Mm. Anyway, Trigun Maximum, Omnibus 4.
Voice Over, Seiyuu Academy, Volume 6.
Wandering Sun, Volume 7.
Witchbuster, Volume 11, 12 Omnibus.
And for other releases, we have the Ultra Street Fighter 4 PlayStation and Xbox 3, PlayStation 3 and Xbox 360 game. All right, and what other news do we have?
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, as we all know, with Silver Spoon, Arakawa slowed down Arson manga due to relative in hospital. You know, thanks mm-hmm. to Silver Spoon, now this one is also being slowed down too. At least not being hiated. At least you understand.
Well, yeah, I mean, slow down, but yeah, but we don't know. It might as well be on hiatus because we don't know when it will be back.
That's the thing. I like how they say, oh, it's slowing down. But I'm like, are you sure it's not just another word for hiatus? It's like suddenly Hunter x Hunter slowing down. Hunter slowing down.
Yeah.
Really, Togashi? Really?
Slowing down a lot.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
Yeah, but okay, what else do we have?
Okay, this is a big one. SNK filed a criminal lawsuit against Square Enix for copyright infringement. It's got to do with the manga High Score Girl. See, the thing is that according to the copyright violations is that there are characters in the series that are pretty much clearly ripped off from the fighting games like Street Fighter, King of Fighters, uh-huh. What else was it, Tekken. And the thing is that I looked it up. I looked up a few of the pages, and it didn't like there was any. It was basically the characters were being used to show how certain moves are used. It's like a arcade fighter manga is what it is. Hmm. Although as of that, ended up being recalled after the NSNK copyright charges. So it's bad news for Enix, which is the one that publishes it. And the serialization has been halted after the copyright charges. So, here's the funny thing about this. As much as I'm sorry for the mangaka and the fans, Square Enix had it coming because after all those other things where they say, oh, you can't have this even though it's free and they're not, you know, like Chrono Resurrection and such, it's kind of funny to see them get their just desserts.
Yeah.
All right. But the anime adaptation, which is how this problem arises, it's still gonna go. So, still no change to anime adaptation plan. So I'm not sure what that means. It means they're not gonna go through, or they're still going through, and nothing's gonna be dealt with it. But the funny thing was, this came up because someone from the anime adaptation department kind of called SNK and asked them, "Hey, can we use your character, your music?" And they're like, all of a sudden, someone SNK department like, "Hey, wait, what did you say?" So yeah, it's funny how Capcom doesn't like even get bothered by it, but SNK did, which is so weird.
It's like how the anime studios like, oh yeah, obviously they must have asked for the rights to the characters, but we'd better just double check, you know, because of the music and sound clips and stuff. And then SNK's like, wait, what?
Yeah.
And so, but yeah, we've got what else do we have?
Well, Michael Bay Transformers films get the one shot. Oh, shoot, it says films.
No.
It recaps the first three films. Okay, moving on.
Oh, yes.
There's a Shonen Jump 2 run Blue Exorcist author's one shot. I read this, it was pretty good.
Yeah, well, we'll talk about that once we get there.
Yeah.
Opinions may differ.
Berserk Manga's next chapter slated for September.
Good gosh, this series.
Which will be, it just says September. It doesn't say the exact date. Sorry, guys.
Yep. What else do we have?
Anderplex USA offers Nisekoi on new subtitle Blu-ray. Because it's Nisekoi, that's why this is worth mentioning. And also Anderplex.
Well, yeah.
Pre-orders begin on Friday for November 25th release of the first 5-episode volume.
Hmm.
I hope you got 200 bucks, guys.
Not happening. Not happening.
Crunchyroll. Crunchyroll adds new manga titles, Murder Incarnation, Girl May Kill, Joshi, Kase, Chronos, Haze, and more.
Oh, did you miss? Okay, cool. But did you miss something?
I missed something.
Yeah, the JoJo news.
Oh, right. I totally...
That's a little more important.
I know. Hang on. I'll get to that. I totally forgot about that. Okay. JoJo's Viz schedules JoJo's Bizarre Adventure Part 1 and 2 in print.
Cool.
Okay.
I look forward to that and going
Phantom
over
Blood.
It.
Sorry. Phantom Blood, to reiterate, is going on sale February 3rd, 2015. Mark your calendar, guys. And the second volume will go on sale May 5th, 2015. So in a sense, it kind of works because you can actually, you don't have to read them in like, well, they're going to be coming out like one go after the other. And a third volume in August 2015, which is exactly a year from now.
Oh, cool.
And the series will be available digitally next month.
Cool. That'll be fun.
You have to watch the anime.
Yeah.
The manga is great. I have to admit, the manga is great, but the anime is just amazing. It's just hilarious. Amazing.
Well, we'll get to the anime. Maybe eventually I'll watch the anime and have you as a guest star on the other podcast.
I'm refraining so hard from saying things about it because I'm like just...
Continue to refrain.
Okay, I'll refrain anyway because I'll keep it to myself.
Yep.
And a little bit of interest. For some reason, there's this Learn English with Assassination Classroom. I would rather not.
I already speak English, so that's irrelevant to me.
It's like this little book about, it's like this little data book, is little like it's like one of those little how to learn for dummies, but a little bit more dumber. But I like the arena part. The pickup lines. You're so beautiful that you made me forget my pickup line. Well, okay. I never thought I could get such a feeling. I got bored just being your friend. Please be my girl. Please be my girl. I'm not drunk. I'm just intoxicated by you. This isn't coincidence. We were born to meet.
Indeed, that's kind of hilarious. All right, let's see. Did we have any other news that needs to be gone over?
No. Oh yeah, of course. You know, as we know, we it's getting it's gotten a lot. It's got an anime adaptation coming, of course, and the manga will be coming out in December, right?
I believe so, yeah. So
First
that will
volume.
be a physical release, so that'll be fun to go over once we get
Oh yeah.
that. And let's see. All right. Well, let's go ahead and move on to the review section. And this week, unlike what we said last week, we're actually going to be sticking to a single volume, mostly because I decided that attempting to review multiple volumes at once took a lot of time.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's not impossible to do so, but at the same time, I've decided to kind of slow things down a little bit. At some point in the future, we may review multiple issues of manga at once, but for the moment, we're going to slow down a little bit, and that means that this week we will be going over Food Wars, Shokugeki no Soma Volume 1. Next week, we have a new volume of Fairy Tail that will be coming out, Volume 40. You know what I'm going to. Fairy Tail? Well, there's a new volume of Fairy Tail coming out this week that we will review for next week. And my computer's freezing. Turn back on,
The
please.
volume 42, I'm not sure volume
Well,
42.
let me. I have our release schedule list here. Let me just open that up and see what I can find, what it
Oh, yeah,
says.
about that.
Let's see. Podcasting and manga releases. Okay, let's see. What does that say? For this week, August 12th, it's Fairy Tail Volume 41 that's being released. So we'll have Fairy Tail 41 for next week, and then the week after that we'll finish up with we'll take 2 weeks to finish up. Well, we might do two volumes of Attack on Titan at once, volumes 11 and 12, just to get it over with. And then after that, on the 2nd, we've got two releases for Nisekoi 5 and Ranma and a Half Volume 4, and then after that we've got the Seven Deadly Sins on the 9th, and then on the 16th we've got Genshiken Second Season and Terra for Mars Volume 2, and then on the 30th we've got Fairy Tail Volume 42. So we'll have to see what we do with September. Well, depending on whether I have the money to pay for the manga is what this all kind of depends on. So we'll have to see what happens there. But anyway, let's talk about Shokugeki no Soma Volume
Oh
1.
my God, I love this. I love this series. And you're the one introduced me to it, wasn't it? I remember.
I do have to admit that.
You're the cook, though, so of course you'll be introduced me
Well,
to it. I was
yeah.
not around until like some point later.
Yeah, well, when I was first introduced, I can't remember where I heard about it at first, but I remember reading somewhere online or maybe hearing it in a podcast how it's talking about, oh, hey, there's this manga. It's about cooking, but it's also an ecchi manga. And the guilty me decided, oh, this might be worth checking out.
I'll say this, I would have read it even if it wasn't ecchi, but then again, the way it's pulled off, it actually does it so well. It
Yeah.
just does it so well.
Yeah, I honestly,
And
yeah. I mean, a brand new cooking manga is definitely something that I've been wanting. The fact that it manages, in a certain way, the etchiness of it is, it's like it has to, it's like it's saying, hey, look, boobies, to get people interested in a cooking manga, which is a bit of a shame because it could do the cooking on its own. And one thing, as you know, when we review the most recent chapters, the etchy nature of it does not actually come in to play later
Here's a
on anymore as
here's a
much.
here's a funny thing. I remember someone, or I read on comment, someone actually related to actually being more like Yakitate Japan, but with ecchi. Of course, like you said, ecchi eventually disappears over the volumes, and it comes up once in a while, but not like all the time. Because after the first volume, after the first you go into the author, Sukuda, what's his name, or, well, both of them, both the writers, pretty much realized, hey, I think we did our job. People like it now. We can do what we want now.
Yeah.
And that's good.
One sec. I'm just counting how much ecchi there is in this. Let's see. Five.
It's about four.
Six.
Chapters,
seven.
Six chapters, I think.
Yeah, six chapters, but I'm counting how many times it gets pervy. Let's see. Seven. And then, let's see. There's more. There's more. Eight.
See, the fact that you keep track of how many times it gets pervy is
oh,
a
no,
problem.
No, no, no. I'm making a point. I'm making a point. I'm making a point here.
Okay.
And so, let's see. Eight, nine. Let's see that one. No, that one doesn't count. Let's see. 10. Yeah, 10, 11, 12. Let's see. Yeah, 13. Okay. We're looking about, in the first volume, we're looking at 13 sexually stimulating pages. When you compare to the more later volumes, which where it happens like once every 10 chapters or so, especially the most recent chapters that we find is that even with female characters in the competition, mm-hmm. often it's more, oh hey, look at this goofy JoJo's Bizarre Adventure inspired thing, rather than, oh look, she's being sexualized.
We're going to do that in the future.
We've already gotten into it, but I'm kind of trying to.
Oh yeah, we did. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm making the point that with this, it starts off heavily, very sexualized, very ecchi, basically. And that's kind of like, you know, that's kind of the format that they go with. It's sexy lady says something about, oh, I don't believe in your food. He cooks his food and it's so, let's just say that the term orgasmic most applies in this situation,
because
because you get to see the reaction that they have to the food, and the reaction is characterized by a very sexually, a very sexual reaction on the inside. Well, in their it doesn't. It's not like their clothes actually fall off, but in their mind, it feels like they are naked, and it is orgasmic food.
I like how you say they.
There's a lot of them, yes. But, yeah, it's very much one of those series that it uses the gimmick of sex to sell. But at the same time, it is entertaining. I mean, if this series were all about just the boobs and nothing else, I would have...
It would have never made that far, to be honest.
Exactly, yeah. I would have started reading it, and I would have... gotten to a point where I kind of decided, okay, let's see, I'm reading this, stuff's happening, skim, boobs, skim, boobies, skim, underage boobies, skim, don't get in trouble, man, but no, yeah, so, if it were just that, I mean, granted, I mean, there are certain manga out there where you read them, and you're like, well, there's not much, this manga doesn't have much going for it. I think I'm going to stop reading, and then suddenly, well, hello, Miss Titties. And then I'm like, I'm going to see, let's see what else. Skim, more boobs, save that picture.
Hello, Miss Titties, oh my god, naked man.
Yes, that's the first chapter. That does happen in the first chapter, yes, it's kind of hilarious.
Which is why it works, because, you know, usually... Because at least this time the writers know that they have female readers too.
Yeah, well,
and of course there are female readers.
I don't think any of the women are interested in those naked guys. But
oh, don't worry. Chapter was it seven?
Well, we'll get there. But yeah, nonetheless, you know, it's like, you know, it's equal opportunity fan service, but it is heavily aimed at a male audience by having the majority of the fan service come from women, which but at the same time it. Manages to take sex or nudity and use it effectively to supplement something that's already there. A lot of times you've got series where all they've got going for it is good art with well drawn nudity, you know.
I can name a lot.
Yeah,
and that's
and then they also happen to have like awful characters, an awful story, awful characters behaving awfully towards each other, and you kind of get to a point where you're like, this isn't pleasant. You know, it's a boring story with boring characters, and the only thing it has going for it is fan service. So you often find yourself just skipping the actual story and just looking for the fan service, which is not what manga is meant to be. That's how you know whether a series uses fan service effectively, is that it doesn't need it. You know, it's still got enough material to it for someone to be able to enjoy without relying on just skimming for the boobs. You know, because, like I said, plenty of series, you just read it, and you're just sort of skimming until you see the nudity, and in some cases, there is so much nudity that it just, you know, all you need to do is just open up, just look at the pictures, and that's it. That's not what manga is supposed to be. Manga is supposed to be something that you read, so it has to have something that makes you read. In this case, the actual story is really good. You know,
yep.
Focusing on the actual, you know, on actually, you know, giving us more meat to this story, basically. You know, it is a little bit standard for cooking manga, where it's basically, where for some reason with cooking manga, the main character is always this super prodigy that everyone is amazed at how good they are, and they're always beating all the opponents,
mm-hmm.
which can get tiresome, which is why I think this series manages to take that concept that's a little overdone and then spice it up with the fan service, which kind of somehow like strikes a balance of exploitation and, you know, trite overdone characters and stories in a way that actually works really well. And considering that this is one of the few currently existing cooking manga that's gotten any attention in the West.
Is this like the first cooking manga we've gone to, like, as soon as it started? I think it is for me, though.
It is for me, definitely, and it is definitely one of those ones that isn't a really old one, nor is
thank
it,
goodness.
Yeah, cooking nor is
Papa,
it...
Yeah. What's the other one?
Oh, there's another one that I forget the name of, but Cooking Boy something, I don't know. I forget what it's called, but it's kind of one of those ones where, you know, I was,
It's not like Japan has a manga. Probably does.
It has a manga. That one kind of counts, and that one was pretty popular. A lot of people liked it. But this one, I don't know, it never got my attention. This one, because I don't care about bread, honestly. This one's a straightforward cooking manga that gives you a lot more variety between the different types of food that can be made.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, that is a big advantage to this, is just, you know, being able to say, hey, look, here's a variety of different food, mostly focused on Japanese food at first, but you can kind of go around and see a bunch of different options. There's, you know, there's more to it than just, you know, a one note. And so, this first volume, definitely a lot of fun. It's one of those ones that I was into the moment I started reading it. Just
same.
Because, yeah, I like cooking. And
well, I like eating cooking.
Well, oh. Yeah. I like cooking, and I also like an innovative idea, which I don't know of any cooking manga, and if anyone does know, please let us know, that combines food with fan service to this extent. And I mean, quite honestly, right there, you've got two of the three essential ingredients to a happy existence. Food and sex. Now all we need is sleep, but
it's true, women do like a man that can cook. Also, men do like a woman that can
cook. Men like a woman that is sexy and likes the fact that they cook. Let's be honest here.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Oh, no. Okay, no. To be fair, people are all different, so there's a variety of different people. Some women like that men cook. Some women don't like that men cook.
Personality, and that's what I like about the characters, about the series. Okay. Even though it's just rereading the first one, I actually remember liking the series. I like them a lot more because mm-hmm. the main character, like you said, he does come up as a bit of a, you know, the whole type of protagonist. But I just like how he exudes the fact that, yes, he does know he is the main character in a way. he does know he is gonna be better than everyone else, but he just acts like he doesn't in some ways, and just actually, it's funny to see that one panel where he does a declaration. Everybody's like, "Oh, I'm gonna kick a guy like that."
Yeah, what I also like is that the series has a sense of humor that it does very well, where it takes characters of a certain trope and then uses humor to make them, you know, more palatable in some cases, mm-hmm. which, word choice. But, yeah, also worth noting, there is, at the end of the volume, they included the original one-shot, which is, it basically hasn't changed much, mm-hmm. honestly, except that it emphasizes the whole connection between, you know, the connection between Irina, the snooty, talented, super chef girl, and Soma, who's, you know, the punk newcomer guy. So that dynamic doesn't change much from the original one shot to the actual version that got published, though for some reason later on we find that Irina gets focused on less and less, which is kind of weird. But well, yeah,
seems like they named her as the last boss.
Yeah, I guess, but we'll see what happens there as we continue to read the manga. But for now, the first volume, highly recommended. It's it's a lot of fun. It's something a little unlike what you've seen before. It's very, yeah, it's very, it has the good, a good story to it, it has some good characters to it, and it also, just, the fan service is very noticeable, but one thing that you'll notice as you go on, it becomes less obvious the more we go through. I can't remember, we'll have to wait for volume 2 to see what happens with that. You know, whether it's, you know,
I think it simmers down somewhere in the middle of volume 2 or maybe 3, I can't remember, but
I think a little bit, but you still get it quite a bit and more frequently than you do in the later.
Oh, yeah, 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 you're right. We get a little bit of it, it's still there, but
just not as much, you know, and this one,
I totally forgot,
like,
because it's a character we know later on we're gonna see, and like, yeah, I totally forgot about that.
Well, yeah, with this one it's more like you get, you know, you get fan service, fan service every chapter, more or less, one fan service per story. But as you go on, it kind of, it simmers down a bit, word choice. And then as we go through there, that just sort of like takes its course. But for now, that is that. I don't have anything else I feel I need to add about Food Wars. Did you have anything else you wanted to add?
Shokugeki no Soma is a cooking manga.
Cool. How very insightful. All right.
No, seriously, that should be the series tagline. Actually, yeah. Well, yep. It is.
Yes, yes it is. All right, well, let's go ahead and move on to the next segment. This is the manga commentary for issue 37/38, because this is a double issue because of Obon Festival next week, which means that unlike previous years where we did specials, we got nothing. So we're going to take a break next week. Just like the Japanese are taking a break, we too shall be taking a break in honor of stuff. I don't know.
Well, the Obon Festival, what I looked up is, It's a 500-year-old tradition where the families take part in honoring their ancestors.
Sorry, let me go ahead.
The Obon Festival is a tradition that's been going on for the last 500 years or so.
Mm-hmm.
That where the families, it's an important family tradition in Japan, apparently. And what they do is they go and honor their ancestors. They do ancestor stuff, go to the festival and stuff. Honor their dad, basically. But when I heard about it, I thought it was similar to Dia Los Muertos, where the Mexicans, right? Mexicans, yeah. They honor their dead too, but only like instead of like being sad, they're all happy instead. But this one, they're being more, you know, honor. Mm. Big move on.
yeah. I think yeah, it's good. Sounds fun, but Let's go ahead and talk about the manga for this week, and we start off with One Piece chapter 756. Mm-hmm. And we start off with a color spread, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Which is basically all of the Straw Hats getting ready in the morning. You've got Usopp putting on, I guess, a pair of those weird glasses that are meant to be like, you know, that for New Year's, except in this case it says 17 because it's the 17th anniversary for One Piece.
Mm-hmm.
Sanji is
serialized in as a manga.
Yeah. Sanji is taking a leaf out of Doflamingo's book with a truly awful outfit. let's see, Chopper is just getting out of the shower. Frankie is, of course, doing up his hair doing a weird duck face. Brooke is spraying perfume all over himself. And you've got Zoro, who is just on his way out, not giving two craps about what he looks like, and just finishing up his breakfast.
Which is a calamari, apparently.
And then you've got Luffy, who has done absolutely nothing except mess around with the mirror and draw the word Mugiwara on it.
Backwards.
Yep. And you've got Robin, who is the only one that actually is putting on an outfit that looks good. Namely, a normal-looking outfit, because you look at everyone else's clothes, and you're just like, these look atrocious. If I saw someone wearing this in the real world, I would say, that's a cosplayer.
Actually, you think Usopp is probably an army veteran. You go, hey, sir, veteran?
No. Well, maybe one of the crazy ones.
Also, but what is that? Well, I can't figure out, but I think the thing that Doflamingo wears, that Sanji's wearing, the thing, I think it's called a boa.
Yeah, the boa. Huh?
Sanji's wearing a boa.
I'm surprised Hancock didn't wear one of those. But yeah, I guess then again, she used
a snake around her like a boa.
Yeah, she used a boa as a boa. Yeah, but seriously, I think, yeah, Robin's the only one that looks like she's wearing normal clothes, and I guess Nami is in the process of choosing normal clothes. She is currently still in her underwear.
With Nami, it's a little bit weird because you take a look and you go and you clearly wonder, like, how the heck does that waist work, really?
It's like, disappearing behind this scrap of fabric, yes.
Disappeared.
Although what I think is kind of funny is comparing Robin, who is fully dressed and putting on her lipstick, to Nami, who has not yet put on her clothes, and yet, if you look, she is wearing lipstick. So make of that what you will. Let's move on to the actual chapter. We start off with a great moment where you've got Viola searching for the, Tontadas, but then you've got Kinemon and Kanjuru come in, and then he's like, oh yeah, there was a bunch of people climbing, and he's like, oh. Usopp is like, oh, thankfully the difficulty in the wall is making it hard for them to get up, and he's like, oh, don't worry, I drew a net to help them get up here. And so it's like, what? And so Viola discovers where Moncherie is and tells Rebecca and Leo about it. And then you kind of get a little bit of a mini flashback to how, you know, that was the room where the kids and the Tontadas got put if they did something bad. And then, let's see, we've got, yeah, and then they get attacked by Gladius, and Robin ends up getting knocked out of the sky, and it looks like she's gonna fight him, she uses her power on him, which I'm actually thinking, you know what, she might be the perfect person to fight him, because his power only works on himself or on inorganic material.
Mm-hmm.
So Robin, her power is all about using organic material to fight, aka her limbs. So she'd totally be good. She could fight him at a distance, and if he starts blowing up his own clothing, all she has to do is make sure that she's far away from him, hold him down, and then release him right as he explodes so she doesn't get hurt. So this should actually be an interesting fight. And of course we find out that Sugar is still awake again, and that's where those, which was kind of obvious, because I mean, where else would those nutcrackers come from? And I love this gag where she, you know, the first thing we see is we see her and she's just freaking out. And you got this guy with a moderately long nose, and she's like, "Stay away from me, you long nose creep. Everyone with a long nose should die." And he's like, "I thought you were hungry, so I brought sausages." He's like, "Don't bring me those long things." He's like, "I only eat grapes." And she turns the poor guy into a nutcracker. And the fact that head cracker doll, as she says. Yeah, and I have to say, I guess this means that she can control what she turns people into. Which makes sense, because, I mean, what's the purpose of a power to turn people into things if you can't control what they turn into? You know? And we find out that the headcrackers are actually freaking terrifying, because one of them bites Farul.
The horse.
Yep. And crushes his head.
Yeah.
So we got
an... Or he won't die.
It's like... And yeah. You've got Cavendish is like, "Those jaws are powerful. His head's been crushed. Don't die on me, Artax! I mean, Farul." Yes.
Wait. I think of another. Yeah, I was trying to think of the name of the horse from Shadow of the Colossus.
Yeah, well... I like my joke better, but yeah, those things really are creepy, and we find out that, you know, even with a hole blown in them, even with their heads cut off, they can put themselves back together. Fortunately, Bartolomeo and Robin appear, and they're facing off against Gladius and these headcracker dolls, which we get to see firsthand why they are called that. And then, let's see, Rebecca gets onto the fourth step in the flower field that is now in front of the palace, and unfortunately she is standing in front of the man that killed her father, who is about three times her size, with a devil fruit power.
He has a devil fruit power.
Yeah.
I totally forgot he had devil fruit power.
Although, yeah, at the same time, you're kind of thinking, not like he needs it, but... Yeah, that's kind of a messed up situation for Rebecca to be in. Although, yeah, how do you hope this turns out? Is it...
Well, hey, wait, what's his power again? Like,
he can turn things... He can make things soft or hard. So he could turn his sword into a whip, or he could turn his cape into a shield. You know, that kind of thing.
Oh, yeah, that can be tough, because all she can do is really dodge anyone.
Mm-hmm. And she has anti-armor.
Anti-armor.
Namely, things that are made out of metal that you wear on your clothes that provide no actual protection. And Doflamingo was like, "Why do you think I made her wear that?" You know?
Point.
Yeah, and... Yeah, so... I am kind of hoping to see... I don't know, I mean, we know that Rebecca can't possibly defeat... what's his face?
Diamante.
Diamante, that's it, yeah. I kept thinking Steven Tyler in my head. I was like, that is not right. Steven you know that's not right. Yeah, but because so I mean
Steven Tyler like Derek, that's actually Diamante. But good job, though. Good job.
Yeah, but you know that she can't win this.
No.
But at the same time, I'm hoping it doesn't turn into, "Oh, I'm such a feeble woman. Oh, please save me, father." Male figure.
The place where she ended up in almost looks similar to that so-called red flower place where,
You mean the place where she and her parents were hiding?
Where they were supposed to meet up or something.
Yeah, I think Pika moved that there specifically for the, to have like, "Okay, Diamante, you wait out here. I'm pretty sure Rebecca will be the first one to show up. What if it isn't? But just don't worry. We got this."
He will. Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, so I guess we'll see what happens, but I mean it's pretty obvious that this is going to be she's going to fight, she'll put up a good fight, but at the same time she can't defeat Diamante, so Kuros will come in and save her and fight Diamante. Yep. Which, you know, you kind of think they both kind of have an equal grievance and you kind of want to see both of them beat up on him.
But it'll be three legs versus two, don't worry. Three will still win over two.
Yes. Alright. Let's go ahead and talk about Toriko chapter 288.
Mm-hmm.
Which basically has everyone meeting in front of Air and Komatsu saying, "Wait. because the air is so dense, it's taking this fruit longer to mature, and it's not going to be perfect unless it's fully matured. The blue nitro's technique is not, you know, is not perfect. Mm-hmm. And then turns out everyone got these ingredients that they're going to use to help mature air more. And then, yeah, and then you get back to the fight between Toriko, the blue demon thingy, and Nightmare Herrick. And, yeah, it's basically, yeah, the blue demon gets sucked back into Toriko, whose hair turns blue again, just because the Nightmare Herrick took a small breath, and the amount of air that it sucked in from its small breath created a vacuum around it, so...
I like the little detail. It says like how humans can survive for weeks without food. They can go without water for 3 or 4 days. I looked that up because I was like, wait, I thought it was 48 hours. And then I looked up and it turned out that someone like Mohandas Gandhi went on 21 days just only having sips of water without any food.
Yeah.
So he's like 3-4 days easy.
Yeah, as long as you have water.
As long as you have water, except when it comes to air.
You can only survive a couple minutes, if that.
Yep.
So, yep, and yeah, so that's like, yeah, that's pretty insane. You can go for a week without food and water for 3 or 4 days. Yeah, can only survive 10 seconds maximum in a vacuum.
Man, I'd be, like, dead in a second.
Yeah, it'd be like, Guardians of the Galaxy, that was longer than 10 seconds. I mean, what? Yeah, so this was a great chapter.
Yeah, this chapter actually, if it didn't solidify people what the Nine of Heracles is and why it's 1 of 8 Kings, this pretty much clarifies that, yes, this thing is 1 of 8 Kings, and you can't just beat this thing like nothing. Can't even handle it.
Yeah.
This is just 1 of 8 Kings. We don't know what the other 7 are like.
Yeah, it says almost no creatures in this world was the nightmares
equal. Almost.
So we'll have to see what the others are like. They'll probably be crazy.
Suddenly the Battle Wolf will appear and be like, yep, thought so. You know, the Battle Wolf.
Yep. All right.
Yeah, let's move on. Next chapter.
Yeah, next chapter. We're skipping 349, Worm Toxin of Hunter Hunter, because I did not pay attention.
Well, I kind of paid attention. It's basically talking about the heir that with that prince, and then there's like 14 princesses, and for some reason, even the females are called prince, because it doesn't matter. It's all about it's all about who inherits the bloodline after they survive. Oh my goodness, that picture!
Yes, it's a monster with titties all over it. Never do that again. Moving on. Let's see, yeah. Moving on to World Trigger, Chapter 71. Invasion Part 18, Good Grief. And it's basically, they take advantage of the one dude's weaknesses. They mark the, the Trion, the things on the inside that they need. And what's his face? Basically destroys and, well, just starts to destroy them, but then he marks them so that they can go in and actually destroy them.
You know that you mean, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. And then you end up, and then we end the chapter with the operator for the, neighbors being all, okay, commencing retrieval. And you're like, wait, what? Do they not just automatically bail out? But then again, I guess that would make sense. It would make sense that you've got these, you know, they're in a different world, so they have to manually retrieve people.
Yeah, it's kind of like how I play Faster Than Light, where I send my crew over and I can't just move on to the next beacon, otherwise I leave them, they'll be dead, and I lost 4 people because of that. Stupid mistake ever. I was in the tough. But yeah, it's similar. They have to go there manually and get them themselves. They just retrieve them, like bail out, like you said. Mm,
yeah. So it was an exciting chapter overall, I thought. Quite fun.
It was alright.
Indeed. Alright, let's talk about Nisekoi chapter 134, Choice. Where where Haru basically pulls out the cheat code for appeal by showing up in a wedding dress prop. And it's absolutely fantastic because the way it lays out, it looks like you've got Kosaki is in the background being like, "Ah, I can't believe she is defeating me. Ah." But then you actually see what she's thinking, and she's like, "I know." It's like, "Oh man, I wish I could take a picture." He's like, "You look so cute." And then, of course, Haru instantly is like, "Oh wow, sis is in a sailor outfit. She looks so amazing." And so it's just basically the two of them just standing there. It's like, "Wow, you're so beautiful. You look amazing." And it's just, that's hilarious.
It's like the take on the, "No, you go first. No, you go first,"
It's
except for all something
like,
better.
"What are you kids
But
doing? We're arguing about which one loves you more. Oh, carry on. You love dad more. No, you love dad more." Yes. I also
man.
love Haru's face when she's like, just she's like, "Oh, this is embarrassing." That's the face for the chapter for me, I think. And then they end up with the whole, "Oh hey, one last question. Is there someone you have feelings for?" And Kosaki is like, "Oh no, I don't." But Haru has the guts to admit it, even though she doesn't say who it is, and that's what helps her, win the competition.
I had
And
this, yeah, but I have to say about Kosaki's, denying it. There's two reasons why I would think that's a good thing she did it, and there's another reason why I think it was probably not a good, at the same time not wasn't a good way. Because remember the whole conversation between Chitoge and Yui, she heard about it.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I was like, you just went back to square one-ish.
Well, no, it's more
Oh
like,
no,
she
no.
doesn't want to admit it to other people, which she is. That does mean she is a step behind Haru in that, but
But she did, though, then there'd be other people
yeah,
being
people,
jealous.
yeah. I would
I'd
have
be
loved the
pissed.
reaction from Raku. He would have been like, "Ah, no."
I give up. Wait, you're the winner, you moron.
Yeah. I also love
Rock.
the Kosaki's face when she's after Haru wins and she's like crying. It's like, "It's I had this vision of you getting married," and I'm like, "Oh man, that's kind of adorable." And then Haru says is gets to choose her dance partner, and she's like, "Oh, Ichijo, dance with me." And everyone's like, "Wait, does this mean?" And she's like, "No, it doesn't." He's like, "One of the only guy friends that I have, or he's one of the only guys that I actually talk to, so who else would I ask? Besides, if I chose the person I like, I'd basically be confessing my feelings in front of everyone." And the funny thing being, that's exactly what she's doing, except everyone buys it. They're like, "Oh, okay." And then let's see. And then you basically get the whole Haru being as like, "Oh yeah, like one last." One last like I'll dance with him once, and then I will say goodbye. And then the chapter ends with Ichijo saying, "Hey, we're all going to this Japanese dessert festival. Your sister's going. You want to come with us?" And she's like, "Oh, go." She's like, "Oh, what's wrong with me? How am I supposed to give him up? How am I supposed to say goodbye?" But I'm like, "You still go to the same school. And he hangs out with your sister a lot. I don't see how you could possibly say goodbye forever," but it is still kind of funny. I like the way, the way that it's carrying on the, oh hey, she has feelings for him, but she's also doing the right thing by trying to give them up. The what she believes is the right thing for her sister, because her sister likes him, and so seeing her, so the way that. No, she manages to drag this out is really clever, where she makes the decision, but then something happens and she kind of her willpower break so
And
that
that's how
happens.
the story continues.
Yep. And we'll see with this storyline done, we'll see what happens next. But all right, let's talk about Bleach chapter 592, which can be summed up as they are boned, because Hitsugaya is.
No. You got it wrong. They are frozen today.
Frozen with ice dildos up their ass, because that's what it comes down to. Yes, yeah, I just got it.
Yes.
Well. I was frozen today. Well done, Mo. Well done. But yeah, they kind of get trash in it. You find out that Hitsugaya doesn't have any will of his own, so he was turned into a zombie before he died.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, and so that's why he's more powerful. And yeah, so they keep trying to fight him, but, you know, they're kind of screwed.
Yeah, it looks like Ikkaku lost a leg and is also dead, maybe. Yeah. Well, he got stabbed in the right side. He's not probably lost a lung. Yumichika, on the other hand,
they're in trouble.
If it hit his carotid artery, he'd be dead.
Carotid artery.
Carotid artery. Yeah. Whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And yeah, it's an all right chapter. I mean, it's basically fan favorite is now dead and is now killing a bunch of other fan favorites here, so that's kind of entertaining. But yeah, and you've got, of course, the guy that should be dead saying, "Oh hey, there's so many drugs I want to test on you. You will allow me, won't you? It's all for the sake of the Seirete." And I have to say this, people are gonna hate me for it, but Hitsugaya has displayed more personality in this chapter than the entire rest of the manga.
Wait, what?
No, I'm making a joke of the fact that he's usually such a, you know, toned down sort of, I am a bland character except when you make me angry, and the fact that he doesn't have much of a personality.
Oh.
Compared to this chapter where he literally has no personality. See, I'm poking fun at the fact that he doesn't have much of a personality by saying, hey, this place where he clearly has less personality than he normally does has more personality. Ha, comedy. Thank you for ruining the joke.
It's okay, I'm a joke ruiner. Yeah. I'm the joke killer.
Speaking of joke killers, let's move on to Naruto chapter 688, which couldn't sustain a joke if its life depended on it. And, okay, this is bizarre as hell. Because Obito is basically, oh, wait, Rin, I can't be with you. I need to make sure that I save Kakashi so we can have some alone time. And she's like, actually, I kind of want the opposite of what's going on here. That was my female voice. Be afraid. But yeah, he does the thing. And apparently... Apparently, the Sharingan is so powerful that it allows spirits to come back to the physical world. Well, not even come back to the physical world anymore, but allows him to break into Kakashi's mind and somehow give Kakashi both his Sharingan. If anyone wonders why I think Naruto is an absolute torrid piece of turd, sordid piece of turd, that's it, yep. You need to look no further, because, I mean, the moment you introduce a power that allows you to do whatever the hell you want, you have given yourself, as a writer, an excuse to be the laziest fucker in the world. This, as cool as it is to see Kakashi with two Sharingan, the Sharingan continues to be absolute bullshit. You know what, I'm going to have to give like a PG-13 or an R rating just to the Naruto chapters recaps alone, because...
Nah, you only swore once, it's okay.
That's true. But that gives me a PG-13, but not an R rating. But I just can't help it with this series. I mean, seriously. But I do like how Naruto does clones of himself and uses the Rasen Shuriken with all the different elements. That's kind of cool. So you continue to get a fight, but the ten-tailed beast like tries to break out and is out of control and almost kills Sakura, but then Kakashi has his own Susanoo. And so I'm like, oh hey, yay, we gave Kakashi something to make him useful in this fight. Okay, now what are we going to do to make Sakura useful in this fight?
Nothing.
Anything at all.
I may have been technically spoiled, but not, but nowhere on the internet, more like playing an online game, and I was reading a little, I didn't know, I was just picking into the chat, and someone said, yo, no, Naruto spoiled, I'm like, wait, what?
No.
Because you get Susanoo. I'm like, what the hell? At first I was like, nah, it's a joke. They're
well,
like
fortunately,
it, I read this. It
was fortunately, good. The good thing about every moron on the internet loving this series is that they're busy spoiling it and not spoiling One Piece. Also, you really are the joke killer.
I am.
Like, I keep trying to do jokes, and then I need an artful pause. And then you start talking, and I'm like, shut up, shut up, shut up, shut up! Let me do my bit! Dang it! No, but yeah, this chapter was terrible. Moving on.
Sugar would agree, because he sees that long nose.
Yes, that. Yeah, she's like, get away from me, you freak! Alright, let's talk about the special one-shot Astro Nerd by Kazue Kato. And first impression is, hello, Yukio.
I know, I think...
Anyone, you need to either read or watch Monthly Girls Nozaki-kun, because it makes a joke that is very relevant, where the main character decides that is going to design a new character for his manga, but he needs a model. And then the girl says, oh, what happens if you don't have a model? And he says, this is what happens. And he draws three different characters, and they all look like the main character. And he's like, I always end up drawing the same face that's most comfortable for me. And then it goes through with this whole, oh, I'm not as good looking as you guys, or, oh, you know, the girl will choose me. Which one of us do you choose? And it's like, does it really matter? That's what this feels like. This feels like an artist who decided, hey, okay, I need to design a new main character. Yeah, whatever, I'll just make him look like all the other main characters that I do. Like, why? That aside, if you can ignore that, this is actually an enjoyable manga. It had a bit of a little bit of an old school feel to it, where it focused very much on a certain character trait that is, you know, negative. It kind of reminds me a lot of the Naruto one shot where the big focus is Naruto not being able to connect to people because of the monster inside, because he's a monster basically, you know. And so it takes that one main character trait and makes it a trauma for the main character, which works really well. And then, yeah, it also, yeah, there's also moments where I'm like, oh man, they really hate nerds. And it's like, oh, I want to break their glasses. And I'm like, you touch my glasses and I'm going to bitch slap you. Also, I'm pretty sure I'm like 2 feet taller or 3 feet taller than any of you. And
you
I'm not even that tall.
You mean back in high school?
Probably back in high school as well, but I was referring right now.
Well, back in high school, I was about the same height as I am now, and people still didn't mess with me. Of course, I wasn't a nerd either.
Yeah,
I was more
like,
of a
social
outcast.
Yeah, it's like, oh, he's the quiet, crazy one. Don't mess with him, yo. But, yeah, so our main character, Yukio,
But Rin and Yukio are twins!
Yoshio!
Wait, Yoshio? Wait, what?
Hell? Oh, gosh. But yeah,
oh, my
he's,
goodness. Ujiko, yeah. Yoshio.
Yeah, but he's basically, he meets a girl who's into astronomy, and everyone's like, oh, she's cute, and that's cool that she's into it. And he's like, oh, yeah, you know, there's a difference. You know, if a cute person says, oh, hey, I like something nerdy, then, you know, people are okay with it. But if a nerdy-looking guy says it, then they're like, oh, hey, what a creep. I'm like, yeah, it does kind of come down to it. It's, oh, hey, look, I am, you know, we like these people that do this thing, but only if they're good looking. So.
Because they just want to get into their pants, both men and women.
Yeah, pretty much. Attractive people end up having it easier, sadly. But
they lose their pants faster because of it.
Yeah, and then we end up getting a weird plot with, okay, this is where the series falls apart for me, because you get these aliens that show up and like, oh, hey, Earth is going to be Earthlings are going to be destroyed because the Alien Council decreed it, and so we need to just collect one sample.
The alien bit reminded me of this one little short series that Akira Amano wrote after Katakuri Reborn ended, called A Light, whatever, where like this alien suddenly appear, and I'm like, what the heck?
It kind of reminds me a little bit of the series My Teacher is an Alien. It's a book series, young adult. I think it's actually middle grade, but it's basically, you know, aliens are trying to figure out whether they should destroy humanity or not because they think they're a threat. And so, yeah. And you got meteors that are going to fall, and the aliens like, oh, you should let us come with you. But then the, you know, meteors end up, you know, knocking him out, destroying the school. He has to get to the school to apologize to what's-her-face McLovin first. Tezuka, yes. And apparently she's still there in the building, but, and he's basically, oh, hey, I actually love stars. And she's like, oh, okay, let's start the astronomy club again. I'm like, wait, what? And here's where it gets weird, where the aliens are like, impossible, and Earthlings solve the eternal space mystery. And it's like, okay, what the hell was the eternal space mystery? This was only just introduced, but what the hell just happened? Is the eternal space mystery that you need to make a connection with the opposite sex in order to propagate the spheres? Is that the space mystery? Because that's not much of a mystery.
Or, trying to figure it out what it was.
I'm still trying to figure it out. Or is it, you know, don't hate yourself? Is that the eternal space mystery? Seriously, what the hell was it? I'm completely lost. I have no idea what's going on here. It's the aliens were an absolute waste of space, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, they do show up and provide this choice, you know, where it's like, oh, you should come with us and be a specimen that's going to be preserved. But the story didn't need them. You know, all it really needed was there's a meteor coming and you've got this intense personal struggle, between this guy and this girl that he likes and everything, and that also the world's going to end because a meteor is about to smash into Japan. The only thing that the aliens help in is that they destroy the meteor after they realize that Earthlings have figured out the space promise thing. I really could have done without that, honestly.
Here's
what I would have done. Tell the same story, because the core story is pretty good. Remove the aliens, and then if you need some way to easily, you know, solve the problems, just have, like, the space ministry or space defense or just defense ministry be all, yeah, we're going to shoot it with a rocket. Oh, hey, look, we just shot it with a rocket. But that's not important because it's, you know, the background. What's important is the characters. And so they're just all, oh, hey, yeah, we have made our connection with each other, and then the ministry destroys the meteor, and boom, done.
But the question is, can a rocket really destroy the meteor?
Well, it could.
Have we ever seen a rocket destroy a meteor in any works of fiction where they don't fail or miss or go out of trajectory or trajectory?
Well, that's what would make this funny. It's just like, it's so unimportant that it actually works. But this wasn't a disjoint. I don't know. I think Kazuo
Kato, aliens just ruined it for me.
They did. They really did. They kind of look like Sergeant Frog knockoffs, too, which is
that too.
Really weird. I think Kazuo Kato has a problem with beginning a new concept. Once she gets into the flow of it, she's fine. But at the same time, it's like she gets good ideas, but then has a hard time executing the introduction.
That reminds me of someone I know. Well,
what?
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
But anyway, yeah, it was, it was okay. It was a good story, but it, with the intense personal struggle, but it just the seriousness of his personal struggle really made the moments with the aliens absolutely stupid. I mean, there was only like one moment where he was all, oh, I'll join them or whatever. But then he realizes, oh, wait, no, Tezuka is still around. I need to go find her.
Mm.
So that was, you know, that was about all they really did that couldn't have been done by something else. But even that, you could have just had him be like, Oh, I've been crushed by this rubble. Oh, there's no point. I'm just going to give up and die. And then he gets an email. He's like, no, I must keep living. You know, literally everything that the aliens do could have been done without them. And that kind of makes them a waste. If they could have been replaced very easily. The only thing that, any plot element, if it could be replaced by something else, is a bad plot element if it doesn't have a very good reason for existing or it has a good impact, And in some cases, a specific power, no, what they have doesn't matter unless you make it matter as a writer. You can't tell, One Piece wouldn't be One Piece if Luffy were made out of fire instead of rubber. I mean, with some other series like, Bleach, it would, whether he uses a sword or uses bare-fisted martial arts, in the end, almost doesn't matter. I mean, okay, yeah, going from a sword to a bare-fisted martial art doesn't really matter as much, but change. Maybe change what his weapon looks like or change his attacks, and that doesn't matter as long as you keep the core, which is the, the inner demons things to his power or whatnot. But yeah, so that was that. Let's take a quick break and then we will move on to the next few chapters. We don't have any Kodansha chapters this week, but we do have the other two Weekly Shonen Jump that we don't have the actual.
They're not actually being published in the officially.
Yep, and we'll take a quick break and we'll get to that. It's time for Assassination Classroom, Chapter 97. And this week we get the continuation from last week's chapter where we get to see exactly how crazy the new school is, which it's basically a massive building with a great library with an indoors playground and then with a garage downstairs that has a bike with an electrical motor on it that is charged by the roundabout in the play room. So when the kids play, they charge the principal's bike. And I'm just like, that's fantastic. And he's just like, this
Why
is
can't we do something like that?
He's like, this is too well done. And but then he's like, oh, hey, material things aren't what matter if you didn't connect with the kids. And then he finds out that they connected with the kids.
Oh, that's totally funny. The bike, it's a reverse tricycle.
Pretty much, yeah. I've never seen anything like that. It's interesting.
That could actually work though. It's this looks more what sort? This actually looks more wait. Could it work? It is a reverse tricycle, but
I don't know.
the whole turning bit.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking. Turning might be a bit complicated there.
Well, it looks like a car, like a unfinished car, bicycle, car bike. Is that even possible? A car bike?
Well, I know they have electrical bikes, but man, anyway, let's see. We also move on, and we found out that since they didn't study, they did terribly during the exams, and so you've got class, you're like, oh, we is like, we're so much better than you, oh. But then, of course, it turns out that karma is second place, and he's like, hey, yeah, he's like, oh, those below have no right to speak to those on top, and he's like, oh, so you guys can't say anything to me, right? And turns out that karma was the only one that was still studying, despite what Kuro Sensei said. So he ended up in second place, and he's basically telling the guys in class A that, hey, we weren't taking this seriously, but you know what? We'll in the second semester finals in 2 months, then we'll trash you guys when we're actually taking it seriously. And so it was a cool scene. And then let's see, we also get the scene where they where oh geez, why did my brain just shut down? Karasuma, yes, where he gives them he decides, okay, we're gonna start the training again, but you know what? It's time to give you your gift because look at your tracksuits. There's no way anyone, those aren't going to hold out and people are gonna be suspicious if your tracksuits are constantly getting busted. So they get these new uniforms, which have like, you know, combat boots and cargo pants and jackets and stuff, except for the girls, where it's mostly bits of things that look like combat uniforms covering leggings that show off their legs, midriff, and arms.
So you're saying that with the way Attack on Titan did with the uniform, of how there was, it didn't even bother between either gender and all that.
Exactly, yeah. So this,
you're wishing it was like that?
A little bit, yeah. I mean, I don't know. It's, if I were younger, I probably wouldn't care. I'd be like, oh, yay, yeah, give the girls the sexier uniforms. But being older, it's kind of hard to have that opinion because I just think, wait, why? Why don't
it's easier to distinguish. Plus, people, I hate the fact that while I was reading this,
I don't think that matters. You know, you don't have to distinguish between the guys and the girls. That doesn't matter. It's just kind of, it's just
silly. I still can't remember half their names, but at least they're more entertained than the freaking Negima characters. God, so many of them.
True.
Well, okay, they were fun too, but there's just so many of them, and some of them didn't get any focus.
Well, yeah, but yeah, the thing that I find is it's just kind of silly, you know, it's having the two genders be different for, I don't know, it just doesn't seem like this is a place where they need to be different, and also it gives the girls an outfit that looks like it would be less protective, you know, because it's like, I mean, granted, cloth isn't going to protect you much, but thicker cloth, like cargo pants and a cargo jacket, would probably do a lot better than leggings. So, it's a minor point, but still, I felt that I needed to point it out. But, alright, did you have anything you wanted to add specifically about this chapter?
Well, the uniforms were actually pretty interesting to see. I thought it'd probably be maybe a little bit of an updated version of what they have, but I'm not upset with the females at all. I think it's actually a lot better, because it still at least doesn't show up their skin, like,
it's true, but
other uniforms tend to do.
Well, yeah, but let's be honest here. In manga, the difference between showing off skin versus skin-tight outfits is the only difference is the application of screen tone. Although sometimes that's not even the case in the case of dark-skinned females, where they get screen tone anyway. But you get my point. I mean, say for example,
the males have dark arms too, then.
Well, yeah, but nobody cares as much about male arms. Well, I don't care as much about male arms as I do about female legs. Let's be honest here. But, you know, I mean, you know, it's like with History's Strongest Disciple Kenichi, where technically Mew is wearing a full, has her entire body covered in her outfit, you know, except it's drawn so tight that she may as well just be naked, because the clothes aren't covering anything. You know, it's just, hey, look, this area of her body is a different shade than her actual skin. That counts as clothing, right? Except it doesn't, especially the way Matsuena draws women. In those outfits, it's especially later on, it's like, dude, if you're going to draw the outline of the nipples, you may as well just have your characters all walking around naked.
People are gonna go read it because you just mentioned nipples.
This is a bad thing. It's a funny series.
It is a fun series.
Yeah, just
it's just that it gets a little, well, just spit on that one. It kind of loses the martial art. Yeah. Well, later on.
We should probably review it at some point, but it's not officially. It's not officially licensed, and I don't know if it ever will be. So we might.
I don't think it ever will be.
Probably not. We'll just have to go over scanlations and then tell people, hey, you can get this legally. You can support the show by buying the anime. Anyway, let's talk about Shokugeki no Soma chapter 82.
So they get the arc animated, anyway.
Yes, which is basically we start off with Soma kind of just, you know, being in classes, but then he uses his free time to practice making stew, and he talks about how this stew was the first one that he made on his own, the first one that was accepted into as a special recipe for their, you know, for their restaurant. And so he basically goes through, kind of gives a basic idea, okay, this is, we got, let's see, these are the basic ingredients you need in a stew. prepare them, and you need all this stuff, etc., etc. And all I can think of in this chapter is that one time I tried to make stew, and it was a bloody disaster.
I never made stew. What was it like?
A bloody disaster is what it was like.
Really?
Yeah, I got it from a... I tried making it when I was first starting out cooking, you know, for serious. And I got it from... I can't remember what the name of the cookbook was, but it's one of those ones that's, you know, this dense, like, cookbook. It's, like, very thick, but while the writing is tiny, it doesn't have any pictures whatsoever.
And that's a terrible cookbook, then.
No, no, it's just one of those ones that's there for people that don't need pictures.
I need pictures.
And, yeah, at the time, so did I, because I was reading it, and I was like, I have no idea what's going on. Also, I made the mistake of not reading the entire freaking recipe first.
That's technically your fault, then.
Yeah, that is my fault, but it was so dense. I just wanted to get going, so I just went like, okay, I'll do this. And then I was like, okay, let's see, now what? And then, like, several lines later, oh, by the way, you have to do this before doing the thing that you just did. I was like, why didn't you put this there first? Ah!
Yeah, if I didn't follow how to actually make Kraft macaroni and cheese, yes, by the box, properly, I would have made it really bad. And I had to experiment a few times to know how to do it properly. And it took me a while to fail after failure. I mean, it always turned out okay, but sometimes it ended up being like, what's the word? Not... Let's just say, when they say drain the water, drain all the water.
Uh-huh.
I drained some. I thought, oh, it's okay. The milk will deal with it. No, the milk makes the water. Milk does not make the water.
Yeah, countering my story about how I messed up a complex stew with how you mess up Kraft's macaroni and cheese is not making you look good.
It's okay. I know someone whose brother actually burnt his own noodles.
Nice. It's not impossible. But yeah, so basically this chapter is, you know, Soma saying, hey, you know what? I'm going to tell him exactly what I'm doing, and so from here on out, it's an actual fair fight of a battle of creativity. So, good stuff. I liked it. This was a great chapter overall, I have to say. All right. Let's see. Did we have any other chapters that we needed to talk about?
I did not want to discuss about this chapter.
Okay, fine. All right. Let's wrap things up then, shall we?
Because I'm totally still unsure, or rather still suspicious of this reporter kid.
Right. Fair enough. All right, well, let's wrap things up then.
Yeah, let's do that.
Yeah, so this has been episode 109 for the week of August 11th, yes, 2014. This week we went over, what did we go over? Oh, yeah, Shokugeki no Soma, Volume 1.
And first also, volume.
Yes, and we also reviewed other manga, because that's what we do. But the episode is almost over, so let's go ahead and do the author comments, starting with One Piece's Eiichiro Oda. I started the One Piece Treasure Cruise mobile game after hearing it's been downloaded 5 million times. I really want to get Ace and the Happiness Punch.
Well, now we totally know what his two favorite things are in the series.
Yeah, I'm surprised.
Yeah, go ahead, you say her.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I'm surprised Nami doesn't do that more often, considering what a perv Oda seems to be.
Mm, yeah, that's totally interesting right there. But yeah, I looked up this when I read the author comments, and it is a mobile game, and it's actually... It's like a little bit of a strategy RPG type of game. And when I saw like, wait, why is there like four Zoros? Four Zoros. Hmm. Five smokers. I'm like, okay, that's interesting. I want to play this, but I don't have a mobile phone.
Sad.
No, BlackBerry does not count. BlackBerry is so small, it doesn't even work.
And I'm pretty sure that they don't have it on the American App
Store. And they don't
Store.
Support BlackBerry anyway. Yeah, that too. They don't have American App Store.
Yeah.
I bet you said Dragon Ball. Oh, let's put Dragon Ball on the iPhone. Jerks. Anyways, Toriko, Mitsutoshi Shimabukuro. I've been checking out home listings before. Every house for sale looked amazing to me. Now I notice places that are not so great.
Indeed. Hunters, Yoshihiro Togashi. I often lose track of the bag I always walk around with. One of the top three reasons.
What? You're carrying the bag, and you lose track of it.
Well, obviously he must put it down and then forget where he put it.
Oh, yeah, that's happened with me, my backpack one. Mm-hmm. I don't know how that works, though.
Yep. All right, next one.
World Trigger, Daisuke's Ashihara. Thank you so much to the fan who sent me a Blu-ray of Frozen. I better make time to watch it. Watch, he's going to make a character based off Elsa or something in there.
He's like, I have Ice Attack. No, I'm not plagiarizing. Shut up.
Ice Trigger.
What? All right, Nisako is Naoshikomi. It's the height of summer. I want to go see some fireworks. Doesn't that just get you excited for some reason? Indeed.
Fireworks.
Quite so.
I haven't seen fireworks much because I don't. It's usually out near the beach, and I don't want to go to the beach. It's too crowded most of the time.
Oh.
But yeah, Frozen's pretty popular in Japan. I read somewhere on the news about it. Like, oh, crap.
You just don't let go of an idea once it's in your head, do you?
No, I don't. Anyways, Bleach is Tite Kubo. Besides working on the manga, I spent every other moment playing Dragon Quest for the DQ10 TV special. It will have already broadcast by the time this issue comes out. Aw, I want to play Dragon Quest 10.
Well, it'll come out here eventually.
Yeah.
Alright, Naruto's Masashi Kishimoto. I got really upset for the first time in a long time. We leave the house and it's a massive downpour. Return home and the weather is perfect. Why?
Because you don't understand humidity.
Apparently one of his kids is Calvin. Yes, indeed. Okay.
No, I have trouble predicting the weather myself until I finally figure out what humidity was. It's totally. It's a little confusing at first. Once you guys get the gist, you understand. Oh, that's how you get the weather out. Figure out the weather.
Yeah.
Although learn meteorology is a better idea.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and do the rankings, shall we?
Yeah, let's do that.
Fourth place, World Trigger.
Okay.
Yeah, I really liked it. I don't know. I like seeing what's his face do something. So.
Okay.
It was enjoyable. What's your fourth?
Bleach.
Okay, it was a tie. At first, it was a tie between Bleach and World Trigger, but yeah.
Yeah, it was all right with the whole, trying to figure out, oh, should we, what the fuck, it's a guy after all, he's a zombie, and, oh, he kind of became a zombie and wasn't able to retain any part of himself, so he has no control of himself. Yeah, what's your number three?
Cool, all right, see, wait, we already did number three?
Oh, no, I just did my number four.
Oh, okay. Sorry, you said number three and I'd zoned out for a second. All right, number three, Toriko.
Okay.
It was cool.
My number three would be World Trigger.
Cool.
A little better. Yeah, because
you liked it better than I did?
Surprisingly, yes.
Cool. All right, number two, Nisekoi.
Okay.
Yep, what's your number two?
Which one was it? Yeah, well, Nisekoi 2. Although Torque almost got there.
Yep, quite true.
The wedding gown that kind of was like, holy... At least it wasn't a Japanese outfit. Jeez, a kimono, please.
Well, I don't know, yeah, I could have seen...
But the wedding gown makes perfect sense because it is the most beautiful dress a woman can wear.
Yeah, though I would have seen like a really formal kimono would have probably had a similar impact,
True.
But
in Japan,
like a wedding.
Oh, look, the Japanese outfit winner, obviously.
Yeah. No, but yeah, I mean, or something like a yukata. I could have seen it done like if Kosaki. Appeared wearing a yukata, and then Haru shows up wearing the full formal kimono and everything. That would have worked too. I think
it were a pretty similar thing.
Yep. But yeah. Anyway, number one is One Piece.
Yeah, One Piece.
It was quite good. Yes,
a lot of stuff happened. I like the bit of Kanjuro though, where we're like, oh, you mean the old guys? Yeah, I do like a net for them, so they can climb up and stuff like, you idiot, why'd you do that? Like, I'm sorry, I'm not supposed to do that? Like, yes, I'll just go commit to Harukiyo myself. Like, no, Kanjuro, stop doing that. Like, yes, do it, please. I'm like, oh, stop, what the heck, man?
Yes.
So I like that he's actually being more, like, assertive and stuff.
Yes, that is, well, he has a good reason to be pissed at them. Yep. All right. Well, I think that takes care of that, does it not? We don't have any emails, but remember, you can send emails to birdinglizardstudios@gmail.com to have them read on air, or you can leave comments on birdinglizardstudios.com. And yeah, I think that wraps us up. So we will see you all next week. And remember, the manga is always better.
And more enjoyable.
Yes, that is one of the definitions of the word better. See you all next week.